At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
And now, back for the second half of the Carol Burnett Show.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hip to do be do do. Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show for Monday. It's already August.
I know. How about that?
It's hard to believe that
the year is more than half over, and we are in the concluding days of summer. Before you know it, kids are in school and
1 week
school time, apples and pumpkins and all that stuff.
I have to say that, Josh, this is probably the only difference between Floridians and everybody else is that this is the time of year that we start to just consider the H word. Hurricanes.
Okay.
I have not adjusted to that yet. I thought you were talking more temperature-wise and how horrible it's
going
been
horrible.
In a different H direction.
I'm distracted because Mrs. O'Mara has come into the studio.
Live?
Yeah, we're live right now.
Oh, here. Have a bite.
Every day at 4:15.
Mmm. What is that, pork?
How are you able to identify that?
From the smell.
Was I right?
Yes, Tubby. You were.
I'm not the one eating pork on the show. ASMR people rejoice.
How Mike's are you possibly able to identify that?
Well, it had the texture and the look of meat, and it was light.
Wow. The things he's good at.
Yeah, nothing useful.
Clips from the 80s.
I think we have a new game for the future.
What is that?
Can Rob guess the food?
I asked Rob to send me some clips over the weekend, and he didn't. And so last night I said, will you send me some clips? And he did, and they're all from the 1980s. They're all from, like, Animal House and Monty Python. Okay. They're all dead.
Yes, they are.
Everybody's dead from that era.
Everybody is dead. Perhaps I'll try to scare up something more current for you.
Monty Python.
You don't laugh at Monty Python? You don't think our listeners laugh at Monty Python?
The ones that are in their 80s, yes.
How old are you?
I do not laugh at Monty Python.
I'm not talking to you, Josh.
I'm 66.
I'm 54, and I'm still laughing at it.
I'm trying to get 45-year-olds to listen to this.
Once they watch Monty Python, they'll be laughing, though.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. They will. Do some work.
Sweat it out. Do a little work.
All right.
Please.
All right.
I asked you last week. You didn't do it. And then you did it. And you did it. You know how you do it. So, I mean, I'm just trying to get some stuff done.
All right.
Really? The only thing you're starting to be good at is busting my balls every day.
No, I'm not trying to do that. Mike, I go through my head, my stupid, miswired, broken head. And I think of stuff that I think will work in the scenario that tape is used for. And I go around, I find the stuff, and I gather it up. Now, sometimes they land, and sometimes they don't. So, I mean, I sent there, you probably...
There were a few that I used, I think. Here we go. Hold on. Let me see. No, that's not coming up. Let me see if I can get it on. There were some that I used. I actually used a few of them.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's bulk. I sent
but,
you...
I mean, Monty Python. Right. Josh yes. in his 40s. Mm-hmm. Yes, no, maybe.
It doesn't work for me because it's mostly overplayed.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been around since the
overplayed. 70s. I know. So it's not.
But in my defense, I thought that just the little hunks, 6, 5, 7 second hunks of stuff, that sort of gives it a little bit of spark. And you always pair it with other things. It's not like I'm playing you an entire scene.
And that's. That's true.
And it's almost like a non sequitur type deal. And, you know, you mix up stuff that don't belong, and then you've got something.
Right. Like, have the coconuts run into Mommy Dearest, and you'll be fine.
You see? There you go.
Mommy Dearest, timeless. That lingers for a long time in my soundboard. Yeah. I'm not saying that it's timeless for listeners, because I don't think it is.
Right.
I think it's well dated. I mean, it really is. But, you know, Mommy Dearest for me, but these now have burned for me. You know, Animal House is burned for me.
All right.
May I have 10,000 marbles? You know when I played that? 1985. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara. We played that on that show.
I understand, but it's still a funny line, and it's still a non sequitur.
And that's when you were playing Mommy Dearest also.
Maybe. I'm not sure about that.
At least in the 90s.
Not sure.
But I'll look for more current stuff for you. I thought that what I sent you was a good mix. But I don't know.
I tried to do it myself. And the proprietary nature of even the smallest clip, I literally can't negotiate it anymore. I used to be able to do it. I used to be able to say, you know, use this, use this. Now they're all saying, join our service with audio clips. And if you dabble into that and do, you know, I mean, I'm on and off with free trials for sound clips and sound effects all the time. Been doing it for 50 years,
right?
Practically. And now it's just terrible. Anything that they say is royalty free is insane.
Yeah. You're right
about
that.
It's so bad.
Mm-hmm. It is really bad.
That's what I'm dealing with here. It's very frustrating. Very frustrating.
I dig you.
But hold on a second. I'm just trying to bring this up if I can. I hope I don't lose you by... No, I don't have to do that.
I'll bring
something up on my board. But no, I mean, it's, you know, as far as time is concerned, that old clock on the wall keeps on going. And I think that it's my desire, even at my advanced age, to be timely as today's headlines.
Okay.
That's what I want.
So you want some clips from the Naked Gun?
Not necessarily with that.
Be timely as the headlines.
But we'll get to that in a second because we got a review of that. Rob, I think you went to see it, didn't you, today?
Yeah, I did.
I went to see it as well.
Did you see it today?
Yeah, I saw it today.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay, so it'll be fresh in our minds.
So let me go through all of them.
All right.
The ones that I got today.
All right.
And I'm just trying to find it. God, come on. Is there ever anything easy in this world?
I think in the first batch, I think there are some current things in there.
All right.
I believe.
There are days where Mondays are weigh on me so heavily.
Yeah.
And this is one of those days that...
Think how bad today would be if you didn't see a fantastic comedy this morning.
I've seen... We'll get to the review.
Good.
I know we want to do it, but I'm trying to see if I can bring this up. All right, let me try this.
All right.
But anyway, talk amongst yourselves. Let me do this for a second. All right.
Now, Josh hasn't seen the movie because he's got $5 Tuesdays going on.
Well, I also told you guys yesterday, hey, try to see it by Tuesday, thinking there's no way I could tell Mike to see this tomorrow. So I thought I had to give him more time in order to get it done.
And in fact, we both saw it in like 14 hours after you told us.
Was it raining this morning? Why no golf this morning?
I don't do that on Monday. I was with my my young man today. All right, I've got the short tapes that Rob curated for this weekend, and I'll start with this one. Let's see what
happens. It'll be okay.
It's Jimmy.
Yeah, that works.
Okay.
No, I like that. We disagree. End of shows.
All right, we disagree on that one.
All right.
All right, hold on. Let me see. Second one.
Sam Kinison screaming.
I'm just going to embellish. I'm just going to, you know.
Well, I'm telling people what they are.
I have no clue what that was.
All right.
All right. Wait, is that a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
That's a thumbs down.
Okay.
Oh, sad.
All right.
Okay.
Am I Huey Lewis in the news?
Can you identify that?
I'm guessing that's from Animal House.
No.
No.
All right. I don't
American Psycho.
All right.
See, also, Mike, in my own defense, the obscurity makes people wonder sometimes.
It does.
Obscurity. It's not obscure. It's
for the younger people.
It was
people,
relevant.
It was obscure
30
to Josh.
Years ago.
I mean, even Josh should be of the age to know that, but he's
now,
not.
Now, this one, I think, is a more recent one.
Okay.
I wasn't familiar with it. Didn't make the cut.
All right,
hold on.
We don't know why, but we have tried to talk separately, but we're not ourselves. It's not us.
Sick last year.
I like those girls.
It's a couple
months ago.
Yeah, and I just when I played it now, I just remembered it. So, yeah, I'm going to put that in.
Okay.
Actually does make the cut. All right, so here we go.
Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries.
Now this is, if I really do an analysis of these sound effects,
right?
It's really layered with me. It's very complicated, but that's Monty Python.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that one works.
Okay, we disagree on that.
All right. When you say it's layered, in what way do you mean?
It's just not, even back when they did it, I didn't think that was funny.
Okay.
I love Monty Python, don't get me wrong.
But all right.
That one I didn't do. All right, now this one's interesting. I ask you to analyze this.
All right.
And by buckaroos.
Matthew McConaughey?
No.
What is it?
It's funny because, A, I know you like things that say goodbye at the end of the show.
Yeah, I do. Right. That's good.
And that was Scott Shannon's final sign-off, which brings me great joy.
Now you changed the complexion.
And by buckaroos.
See, that is so obscure. And now that you've explained it, it has a totally different character.
That's why I have to go with bulk, because I don't know what's going to land. You're a complicated guy. I am, too.
No, don't blame it on me.
I'm not blaming it on you at all.
I'm a complicated guy.
You are. You said you
have... That's really accepting personal responsibility.
No. I said I'm complicated, too. We don't jive. And the thing is that I try to send things that are going to land. I don't do this, just willy-nilly. And I try to make things.
And by buckaroo.
Now that I know who it is.
See, it is pretty funny.
Now that it's now that I know who it is, Rob, it's fantastic.
Okay.
What's that?
What was that file called? He could have helped it by saying Scott Shannon in the file name.
Yeah, if it had said Shannon, I would have got.
But
now,
also,
here's one that made the cut. I've got one that made the cut. Here we go.
I pooped myself one time.
Jelly Roll.
It's Jelly Roll.
Yeah. But
like
also,
that.
Sometimes the label, this is done on purpose, is vague to surprise Mike.
Okay.
Because I think there's a certain joy there, too.
This is one that made the cut.
All right.
Don't know what it comes from, but it's our fearless leader. So
they don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
Oh, so that's like 3 weeks old.
Yeah, they asked him about
have to be explained because it was perfect.
It was either Ukraine, Russia, or Israel, Gaza.
I think it was Israel, Gaza, but yeah, that was, he was yelling that in front of a helicopter.
All right, here's the next one here.
All right,
listen up.
Why don't you make me?
Why don't you make me?
Because I don't make monkeys. I just train them.
In its day,
Pee-wee is hot again, though. Pee-wee's hot again with that documentary.
No. Shortened up, that clip might work.
I don't know about that. It's just, and I loved it. I loved the scene. I loved the whole movie.
Right.
But it's 80s.
Sure.
It's a long, long time ago.
It is. It doesn't seem like 45 years ago, does it?
And then there was this one, and I'll explain what happened with this
one. Okay.
Play it, please.
I'll find him for three, but I'll catch him and kill him for 10.
I saw us... a reference on Facebook this week to the movie Jaws.
Yeah, but
and
it was
that
already
particular
sent.
Scene. Oh, was it already sent?
It was in my soundboard.
Okay, I apologize for that.
Thing. And that's it for the first one. And now we go to two.
Yeah, batch two. Right.
And I didn't even get three until like three later today. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know what's in there. We'll be able to do that real time.
Good.
Okay, so let me see what this one is.
That'll be all for today, Billy. Next week, we'll look into some interesting experiments we can do with discarded swimwear.
Don't laugh. You never laugh at anything, and you laugh at that.
It's just odd enough. because it sets up so serious. It's just weird enough.
That's what I thought. A non-sequitur. Oh, that's sad.
Sorry.
Oh, it's all right.
What is it from? What is it?
It is from the original Police Squad, The Naked Gun, the television show.
Oh, okay.
It's the scientist that would always have, well, he would have inappropriate conversations with children like the captain did in Airplane. Remember?
Okay, let's move on to the next one.
All right.
Well, all right, get going.
Josh, that's another end of show one.
It's just a simple end of show.
Okay. All right.
And that's Walter Brennan. Okay.
All right, let's go.
Well, that was pleasant. Nice of him to stop by, don't you think?
Ancient.
I know, but it's funny.
Overplayed.
Oh, I don't think that particular part's overplayed.
Well, not that, but I mean, and nobody loves Animal House more than I do. I love Animal House.
Okay.
Absolutely love it. You know, I mean, I absolutely love it.
I thought that was obscure enough that it could sort of stand above. Also an end of show one, too. Nice of him to stop by.
Yeah. Okay. And then we got the,
Mr. Dorfman.
Hello.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
One clip led to another.
Do you know the movie we're talking about?
Animal House.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Okay.
I would shorten that to just the hello, and I think you'd be all right.
But you can't use hello at the end of the show.
This is when I was getting really frustrated with the Animal House stuff. All right, here we go. Next one here.
Watch!
What is it?
No. It's Adam outdated. West. It's Adam West from Family Guy. I just think it's out of character, and it's funny because he laughs and says, right. What?
And now this one that...
May I have 10,000 marbles, please?
I ran into it when I was looking at the other stuff.
Okay, next one.
One louder. Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Well, they're working on the sequel,
They
right?
got the movie coming out.
What is it?
That's Spinal Tap.
The Spinal Tap sequel drops like in a week and a half or so.
Didn't make the cut. All right, hold on.
They're sponsored by Viagra.
That may have made the cut. I like that.
Good.
That's just funny and, and real. Hold on. Let's see. I'm replaying that one. Moving on here. This next one.
It doesn't come with leather.
No, sir, it does not. That's why I told you you'd have to add it.
Well, what's in there?
Well, it's what they call Mercedes leather.
Now, that I associate with our show because we love that movie.
I love that movie, but I still, at that particular mindset, when I was shaking my head ruefully, that didn't make the cut. Many did. Well, I'll mention them when they are.
All right.
Is your wife a goer? Know what I mean? Know what I mean? Nudge, nudge, know what I mean?
No.
Okay, I understand that already without explanation.
Okay, here we go.
One louder. Why don't you just make 10 louder and make
done that one.
That's the same one. Sorry about that. All right.
Is your wife a goer? Know what I mean?
No.
Now, if we don't eat within 15 seconds, the whole damn thing will be dried out.
God help me.
Never mind helping you. Tell him to save my meatloaf.
Might have made the cut. That's almost classic movie. That's back Odd Couple from the 60s.
But again, obscure enough that not many people would know it. They would know it when you explain it.
Now, I am such a small-minded person with a simple, simple sense of humor that I give you the one that I liked more than any other. And pardon my voice today. I've got a bad throat.
Okay.
So pardon me, but this one.
This is your favorite?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I have to say it's my favorite because I have to take the bullet for this because there are going to be a lot of people, of course you like that, Mike.
Oh, what is it?
Here we go. All right.
Nice beaver.
Loved it. Sorry.
That's all right.
Loved it. We'll hit it one more time.
Okay.
Nice beaver.
Very good. Okay. That one was special. All right. Yeah. What's the next one here?
Good day.
Yeah, Paul Harvey. We've used it before. Didn't work for me.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Could I have my pants, please?
What's it from? Is that from Rockford? Okay.
I think that is from Rockford. I'm not certain about that.
Didn't make the cut.
Oh, it's sad.
What do you mean, spots?
Walter Brennan again.
Yeah. And I happened on it.
I played my favorite. Now I'll play my least favorite.
Oh, here's his
Hello,
least favorite.
You big thinkers, you.
Ran into that one again. No. So
that's the key. Again.
What do you mean?
How did you pull these audios? Do you have all these already stored on your computer?
Yeah, from hunks of different things. Yeah. And I bounce around. And then if something makes me think of something, I will go to YouTube and pull it. But it's sort of, it's a little, without really breaking down the serious business of comedy. It's one thing
you
makes
must
me
have
think,
been the class clown, and I say no, I wasn't, but I sat beside the class clown and I studied him.
That made the cut.
I'm glad. I like that
very
much.
Is that American Pie?
No, that is Eugene Levy in Waiting for Guffman.
Older movie, but you know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't play it a lot. Yeah. We don't play it a lot. Now, the thing, what was your process again? I'm sorry, I wasn't paying
attention. All right. You see things and you grab them, you tighten them, you pull bits, and they might you think of other things. And so you jump around a little bit.
Now, Short Tapes 3 sent to me at 3:53,
mm-hmm.
10 minutes before we were going on the air.
Right.
Plenty of time to load them into myself.
Well, it wasn't necessarily meant for today, you see.
I know. I'm just kidding. Okay. All right, let me. This is exciting because I don't. Maybe these are all going to be good.
All right,
here we go. This is the first one, and this is our process. Let me turn the comments on so that I can get people to.
I like this.
Vote.
It reminds me of listening to Don and Mike when you guys would have Dude on to do the Sounders live.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. That's kind of what we're doing right now.
At least mm-hmm. I like the behind the scenes stuff, so I assume others do as well.
Okay. This is, and I'll go back and revisit these, especially with one particular that Scott Shannon's going to make the cut here. This is the third one. Let's give that a listen.
Hey, don't drink that poison. That's $4 an ounce.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Okay.
Kind of knew that going in.
This
but
whole
you know
idea
what?
Sounds pretty half-baked.
No, it's not. It's completely baked.
Is that Naked Gun again?
No, that's The Graduate.
Oh, okay. Right.
My favorite line from The Graduate.
What year?
I think it came out
1967.
Seven? Yeah.
I think. Okay, next one.
So you think you ought to drink while you're flying?
Well, stop kidding. No. We didn't make us some drinks. I mean, just...
No, that's...
Okay.
That's ancient. And we've used it before.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Yeah, but sometimes you bring it back as a recurrent.
All right, here we go. Pac-Man, it's the other guy. It's the other dude that I worked with for 20 years.
No, it's not at all. That's a great sound for something that fails.
Okay. All right. Well, then let me... All right, hold on.
Maybe it does make it.
All right, let's see. All right.
All right, let's watch this message from our friends at Real Networks.
That is Ed McMahon from the Jerry Lewis Telethon.
It is.
Tired and out of voice, and yes. I love it.
Can we hear it again? Because I really do like it.
You may. 1,000
All right, let's watch this message from our friends at Real Networks.
And see, that's the kind of thing that bounces out when I'm bouncing around, and I find an occasional obscurity like that. That brings me great joy.
What was born out of frustration has now blossomed into the next time I ask you to do this.
Yeah,
we bring him in to the show.
Okay,
and we'll have him. All right, let me. Someone had a long weekend. Is that talking about me?
I don't know. It might be me.
I don't know. All right. Got that one. Network, that's Ed. Now we move to the next one.
Have I had fun with you within the past
two? No. Old show.
Yep.
No. Hold on. Here we go.
This is Baby Billy's Bible Bonkers.
Bible Bonkers.
Baby Billy's Bible Bonkers.
That's nice. I like that.
Okay.
That could make the cut. Mm-hmm. Josh, I didn't ask you. Are you all right with that?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay. All right. Very good. Moving on here, next one. Oops, there we go.
What the hell's going on here? Just thought that we're almost finished. Good God.
No.
Okay.
And we've used Casey hundreds of times.
Yeah,
I think,
thousands
right?
probably. Yeah.
All right. So I'm trying to look at the comments here. Beaver equals funny. Yeah, that's right, Scoob. I'm sorry, Kevin Harding. No. That's right. Sorry to give the wrong guy credit here. Here we go.
Now, what kind of an attitude is that?
No. That's the same movie. Mad World.
Right.
That one frustrates me.
Why is
I'm Ozzy Osbourne and I'm the Prince of Darkness.
You played it a lot on your own, and I loved you sending that along. I didn't even ask for it. That's good.
No.
So it ends on a high note. And I think the next time, first of all, I got plenty for refreshing what I have here. And I think the next time we do this, and maybe that'll motivate you to go out and grab something different and new.
Okay.
And bring it, but it's harder to do now, is it not? To get clips than it used to be.
Well, there's not as many funny things going on in the world as far as like stuff that's instantly recognizable to grab. We've got a splintered audience with people doing
stuff.
Well,
like when you get an Ozzy Osbourne tape,
right,
like that.
Yeah.
Where does that come from?
I found that on a piece of news coverage.
Okay.
It was part of the piece of news coverage.
So and you know it takes what? Time, and it takes a long time to
a
get
few
this.
Of the funds
a lot of
that
people
you,
like Ozzy.
A few of the people that or a few of the tapes you got today are stuff that I sort of put away and put aside until I knew I was doing a batch of them. So that's why, for example, I had forgotten about the girls that talked at the same time. And then when I heard it again, it really made me laugh because it's just so weird. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I go out searching. Sometimes I find them accidentally. And sometimes I have them tucked away from previous. So there's many things. But you know what? If you got from that batch, and it sounds like maybe I got like 20 tapes that you liked, if maybe not that many, but a third of them, that's batting 300. I'll take that.
Well,
that's
that
not
was pleasant. Nice of them to stop by, don't you think?
So, you know, I didn't know I was going to have to.
Well, that was pleasant. Nice of them to stop by, don't you think?
Review them in real time, but I'm happy with my percentage.
I'm
some
a
of them landed.
Clown, and I say, no, I wasn't. But I sat beside the class clown, and I studied him.
Sponsored by Viagra.
Okay, and but
nice beaver.
That's the winner. It is.
And what is that from?
That's from The Naked Gun.
Okay,
the all first right. one. The first one.
Yeah. The good one.
The one with Priscilla Presley. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's all you really need is one big one like that to hit for Mike.
And some that were on the bubble, but they survived.
Oh, I think it's marvelous. Some of it really fine.
There you go. That's Bing Crosby. That doesn't get any older than that. But hey, a new one.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
All right. There we go. Okay.
And don't forget Super Shan.
I pooped myself one time.
Hey! Yeah. I'll put him in the hot rotation. And the one that was still in there was the Captain Quint, because there's been kind of a Jaws resurgence
the 50th,
that
we
had.
Yeah.
So let's get to it, because we've been postponing it. Mm-hmm. It's time. Josh kind of motivated all of us to go to the movies this weekend.
He did.
And, you know, you identified the trend that a lot of people were talking about The Naked Gun.
Yeah.
And, you know, said, why not? I'm like, well, God, I got Monday. I got free time with my son. Just winding down till the school year starts. I'm not going to have really what a spectacular summer I've had with my kid. And I thought it would be a really good idea to, you know, dive in. And then Rob decided he was going to go see it. And then you said, wow, if I'd known, I would have, I was planning to go see it tomorrow morning. And I believe my comment to you on our little text thread was, I think we saved you the time.
Yeah.
Time. Mm-hmm. Mike, Robbie, I will say one thing about it that you probably don't know that you will enjoy. And I came home and I pulled this for you. The remix, the new version of the Naked Gun theme. You know who arranged it and played it? A guy you like.
Quincy Jones?
Gordon Godwin and his big fat band.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, love Gordon
probably
Godwin.
It's probably his biggest break. Because, I mean, he's great, but to be on a motion picture soundtrack, that's huge.
That's awesome. That is really, really amazing.
Now, pre-show, Rob did point out a negative to this Monday morning movie going.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is how many people were in your theater? Because a comedy is hard to see all by yourself.
I think we had maybe one other person in there. Maybe.
We had one.
Yeah.
Me. That's it.
Oh, you were all by
myself.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to like a 10:15 show like I did?
11:25. Okay. That was the first one. Yeah.
But okay. Rob mine always buys all the seats.
Just to have his private screening?
Right. Yeah. I came in and all the seats except row E, seat 13, were taped. They were taped with masking tape.
Now, full disclosure, mm-hmm. I really feel as though I cheat the audience when I give a review of a movie that I did not see in its entirety once again.
I
walked out.
I was wondering if you walked out.
I walked.
Good for you.
I walked out when my son, the 12-year-old, suggested it. Said, Dad, this is boring. And it was, I'll let you get to your review in a second, Rob. But
right.
It was like, here's how I would describe The Naked Gun 2 or whatever it's called.
The Naked Gun, because it's like a retooling.
Naked,
yeah,
The Naked Gun. It was absolute waiting for stupid gags and getting just shortchanged. There weren't nearly enough. Not as much as the first one, right?
Not even close. No.
And I left shortly after, at least the part of the movie I saw, the funniest bit, which was the infrared
which
camera.
Is stolen from Austin Powers. Almost to the letter stolen from Austin Powers.
Okay, yeah, and that waters that down.
It does.
It could not suck enough. Now,
I came in and Carrie said, how was it? And I said, I should have left early like you because the movie was only 89 minutes.
It couldn't make it.
Didn't make it.
I said it
might be the worst movie I've seen in a theater since The Blair Witch Project.
It was that terrible.
Now,
I messaged
you guys yesterday, I checked in on the little popcorn meter on Rotten Tomatoes. It was in like the high 80s.
It was incredibly highly rated on Rotten, which makes
me... They faked it then. They had to ruin it somehow.
Today, I might be done with Rotten Tomatoes in totality.
And today it's down to a 76 by the audience score.
Yeah, because the audience scores are coming in.
Right. Yeah. And the 90% critic score, I just don't trust because they have... They're so easily influenced.
Yeah, I think that they are. I think it's complete grift now.
I do too.
You know, and it sucks that it is. It was horrible. It's just not even close to being funny on a consistent basis.
You're right.
It was just 100%. And that's a bummer because I said to my son before the movie started, I said, now just remember, this is going to be really stupid, and if you know that going in, you're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Was I wrong? And he's too evolved with his sense of humor for that.
I went in really hoping that it was going to be good. I really wanted to. I didn't think it would be, but I was rooting for it. I went out.
So bad.
I bought it. It was so bad.
So horrible.
And
it's got the best critic reviews of the summer. Of all the summer movies, it's got the highest critic
reviews. That speaks sad for the critics, though.
It's horrible.
I'm tempted to open up, I will later on, I'll open up the critics to see who really panned it because I have more respect for them when they do that. It's just, it was terrible.
It was so bad that it made me think why it was so bad because they reused some of the same old gags that were good back then.
What saved a bit of it was the magnetism between Pamela Anderson and Liam Neeson and with all the hype they were giving it about their real romance, you know, as an old guy, Liam Neeson, and an older lady, Pam Anderson. I mean, that was fun. But then then you realize how bad an actress she is.
Right.
And it was just, oh, God, it was such a slog.
Does the original still hold up? Or has it been parodied so many times and pop culture so many times by now that it doesn't?
I've watched it with Robert recently, the first Naked Gun movie from 88, I guess.
You love it because it's pun humor.
Well, a lot of it is pun. There's a lot of sight gags and stuff like that. But Robert loved it. But what I think we're missing here is that the original TV show and the first movie, they weren't making a parody or a satire of modern movies. Which this is. This is satirizing modern movies. What they were satirizing was like bad cop shows of the 70s, like your Banachek's or something like that.
Ugh.
And this is not ripe for satire. Instead of coming off as satire of a modern movie, it felt like a bad modern movie with lots of stolen gags.
Right.
And like just like the first one ended at a baseball game, right? Mm-hmm. This ends in a huge wrestling match. And so they can reuse the whole notion of, you know, crowds and a big sporting event for your climax and all that. It just never gelled. The rhythm was wrong. And I thought there was a chance because the reason that Leslie Nielsen was so great is that he had a storied career leading up to this in serious roles.
I think, it
did Liam Neeson. But for some reason, Liam Neeson, it wasn't funny.
No, and Liam Neeson can be funny in little vignettes. He's done some stuff with Ricky Gervais, which was great. But what it demonstrates to me is how incredibly difficult it is to make an Animal House, a Something About Mary, a movie that
a
is
memorable
really
comedy.
Funny.
Yeah.
They really, it averages about maybe one a decade. That's how rare it is to get a really great comedy. A lot of people try to do it, but it just, Hollywood in general and our society in general, I think, it was, I'm sure that there are people that are probably going to show their teeth laughing, or no, maybe not. I don't think this movie, even with dumb people, is going to
do
well.
No, I don't, because
well.
You know what? I can be at that level. If this movie was funny, I'd be laughing at it.
Yeah.
There was no, and you know what? There was no need to reinvent this franchise.
Isn't a movie like Naked Gun, though, isn't there a rhythm to it also?
100%.
Like where the gags are almost sequential, where they I got no sense of that they were trying to wedge some plot in there.
There was
way too much plot. Heavy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So it was, oh God, it was frustrating. But I walked out of the theater with a spring in my step because I had my son telling me how much he hated it. And in a way, I went, yeah, way to go, kid. Way to know, you know. He did.
I should have left early.
During the stuff they stole from Austin Powers.
Yeah.
That good memory on that one because I had no idea that
That's been in several Austin Powers things, I think. I remember one that was in a tent where they were backlit and it looked like that, but it was, you know, the silhouette belying what's going on in the
funny.
Show. But well, yeah,
stupid and funny, even if it's stolen. If they'd had other gags, but but their wordplay was weak, I thought too.
Wordplay, there was some in there, but they didn't. This is going to sound stupid, but they didn't punch it enough. It got lost.
Yeah,
and even little things that they could
Remakes
have made
suck.
Funny.
I agree with you, Joey. I really do.
And like, I stayed through the closing credits. Because I knew that in the closing credits of the original film, there's like some made up credits that are supposed to be funny. And they did it again, but they weren't funny. It's just, they took everything they could from the previous ones and tried to remake it, and they couldn't. No. There's just a magic that's gone. Now, if they want to invent a new franchise about a bad cop, and they've got Liam Neeson to play the bad cop, and it's funny because of that, give it a shot, but don't try to revive this franchise that is so magical
sad.
To me.
You know,
yeah.
And I was thinking maybe there was a chance, and I got the buzz that before it went down, Josh, was like 90% that it was getting from critics, and I don't know what
it's
they
still
were paying.
90 from critics.
Jesus Christ, terrible. So there you go. That's our review. Anything you want to add? I'm pretty much, I only saw an hour of it, so that was that.
Well,
that's two movies I've walked out of, one in my own living room.
My recommendation is, folks, wait until it comes on streaming and then don't watch it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got lots of show coming up for you, ladies and gentlemen, including a new concept of the Gen Z stare that I want to talk about later in the show. But this episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Football is back. Preseason is heating up. College football is here. And the stars are ready to put on a show. Saquon Barkley, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, and Jaden Daniels. I can't wait for this season. And it's so much more than just watching the game. You can get in on the action with Prize Picks, the number one way to play daily fantasy sports in over 40 states, including California, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. Deposits? Simple. Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard. Withdrawals? Lightning fast, safe, secure, and here's the game changer. Prize Picks invented the flex play. So even if one of your picks doesn't hit, you can still cash out and double your money. This season, don't just cheer, play like you've got skin in the game. Millions of fans already have. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today and use code TMOS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code TMOS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. Run your game.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
First, I want to tell you that I love sunshine, and this summer I am working on getting a big tan.
The biggest tan.
I'm not. I'm ready for a relaxing day at the pool. No, got a pool. Don't hang out by it that much. But I hop in with my
sure.
buddy. But when I do, I am delighted to tell you about our new sponsor, because I don't use my old swim trunks. Now I've got something comfortable, versatile, and built to last. This episode is brought to you by Fair Harbor, makers of the world's most comfortable swimwear. If you're heading to the beach or have a vacation coming up, pack their breeze-knit line trunks and say goodbye to mesh linings forever. Tell your mesh to get bent.
Yeah, mesh.
You see, mesh is bad, but Fair Harbor trunks are soft, chafe-free, and built to move. These trunks are softer than anything you have ever felt before. And what I don't talk about enough when I'm telling you about Fair Harbor is the cut is really, really a good looking non-boxy cut.
Yes.
That, you know, doesn't look like so many people with those baggy shorts you see at the beach. Mm-hmm. You got to give Fair Harbor a try. With millions of swimsuits sold and over 70,000 five-star reviews, Fair Harbor is a crowd favorite for a reason. Fair Harbor also carries a full line of casual clothing, great shorts, shirts, and the best hoodies ever. You can match Josh and me. Nice. If you want to see, is there anywhere that they can see the Josh Soroka commercial, which is the greatest TV vignette one has ever made? That's
it's on the show TikTok.
Yeah. It's on the show TikTok. Check out Josh, who is modeling Fair Harbor swim trunks for you. You'll love it. Now, we have a new code. So
yes,
head to fairharborclothing.com/TMOS20. That's a new one. We're throwing you a little curveball there. FairHarborClothing.com/TMOS20 and use the code TMOS for 20% off your first purchase. That's Fairharbor, H-A-R-B-O-R, clothing.com/TMOS20 for 20% off your first purchase. And make sure you use the promo code TMOS20 so they know that the TMOS staff are incredibly
our hardworking staff.
Our wonderful staff, all 50 of them.
Cracker Jack.
Sent you, people, and yeah, hit it. That's right, that's fine. Good. Very good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We start today on the show, Whoa, Whoa, with Lonnie Anderson. You might not know who Lonnie Anderson is, but we do, and she has passed away, unfortunately. This was yesterday this went down, mm-hmm. right? Lonnie Anderson, no longer with us, and Lonnie auditioned to play, what was the name of the character? I'm trying to think here. Hold on, let me bring it up on my copy. What was the character? She auditioned to play Chrissy Snow on Three's Company, but she lost that part to Suzanne Summers. She played receptionist Jennifer Marlowe for WKRP in Cincinnati for the show's entire four-season run from 1978 to 1982. Great comedy when it was running. She would have been 80 tomorrow. Let me see. That was, 78 to 82, long time ago. The character was originally written as a typical dumb blonde, but Lonnie wasn't interested in that. She made them rework the character so that she was portrayed as, quote, the smartest person in the room.
Which actually made the show work a lot better.
Oh, because it was unusual and it was funnier that way. In 1980, she starred in the TV movie The Jane Mansfield Story alongside
I remember this,
a relatively unknown Arnold Schwarzenegger, who played Jane's husband, Mickey Hargitay. I never saw that movie, so I have no idea.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch that? Did you ever
I
see that?
I think I watched it when it was on, but keep in mind that they gave birth to Mariska Hargitay.
Oh, wow. That's
from
right.
From the Law and Order franchise.
Jane Mansfield. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Lonnie spent a lot of time in the 80s in the tabloids, thanks to her marriage to Burt Reynolds.
Speaking of which, Mike, can I run a small clip
that I was at
today? People today, with all the TMZ and stuff, don't realize what a big deal this divorce was.
Oh, it's a big deal. Always in the tabloids.
Upside down this summer when Reynolds filed for divorce. Overnight, Hollywood's favorite couple became fodder for the tabloids, with every intimate detail of their life together analyzed, criticized, and publicized on newspaper and magazine covers all across the country. In spite of it all, the couple vowed to keep it civil until Burt went on national television.
I call her cheating on me.
What do you think about the fact that Burt Reynolds has been so public about it and really has kind of waged a campaign against you through the tabloids and through various television shows?
Again, my son is watching, and I really don't have anything to say about that at all.
I will never forget Burt saying, "She's a bad mother."
Their divorce in the early 90s was one of Hollywood's ugliest. It took them more than 20 years to completely settle it.
Do you remember one of the
both of them? I think
one of the sticking points, one of the things of his that she was holding on to that he wanted and she wouldn't give up.
No.
They were animation cells, I think, from Warner Brothers cartoons.
Like originals?
I really want those cells. I want my Bugs Bunny.
Come out on TV. She's a bad mother.
She's a bad mother.
When Ozzy Osbourne died, celebrities the world over offered heartfelt, respectful tributes. And then there's Rod Stewart. Uh-oh. On his current tour, Rod has been dedicating the song Forever Young to Ozzy. But recently, he's added a bizarre element to the tribute. It's an AI video of Ozzy in heaven taking selfies with other dead celebrities. They include Bob Marley, Whitney Houston, Amy Winehouse, Tupac, Prince, Freddie Mercury, Kurt Cobain, Tina Turner, Michael Jackson. Someone who witnessed this insanity in Charlotte, North Carolina last week reported that Rod followed up the video by dunking on several of the dead celebs. He said, quote, "Very sad. A lot of those people died because of drugs. I'm still here, though." It's
okay.
A little weird, isn't it?
Wow. That is, now, I've seen videos like that. They did one when Brian Wilson died, and he was greeted by Elvis and John Lennon and Prince and all that. And I thought it was sort of nice, but I don't know it's the kind of thing you want to show in a concert to point out the fact that you're still alive.
No, it's just weird.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. What was that clip that we heard there?
Oh,
was
I was trying to pull the clip of the weird video.
Oh, really? They showed the weird video?
Yeah, I've got someone's got it on Instagram. I'm just struggling to get it off of Instagram.
It just seems to me to be kind of a little too soon. Probably
way too soon.
Break it out at your concert. It would seem to be a little bit odd with that. But I know
they're both from Great Britain, but I don't see a lot of connection between Rod Stewart and Ozzy Osbourne that Rod needs to make a comment.
You know, the immediate tributes about Ozzy, and I've been watching a lot of it, and he's one of the classic examples of somebody. I didn't give Ozzy a lot of thought. I really didn't, outside of my best buddy, maybe, Jimmy, loving Ozzy.
Yeah, maybe this tribute will change your mind.
Okay, let's take a peek at it. Here we go.
Tina Turner.
It's AI.
It's AI, yeah. On clouds with a selfie stick.
All right, I mean, it's weird.
I don't mind the actual production. I just think it's misplaced in that concert.
No, but the whole thing, it's just...
I don't think it's disrespectful. I think it's just
not disrespectful.
Weird.
It's just a little weird.
Yeah, weirdly placed.
With Ozzy being the one that's up there.
And I'm glad you said selfie stick, Josh, because I thought he was brandishing a cane. I'm sorry. That is disrespectful. But it's, you know what? Weird. I can see, for a big fan of Ozzy, that might offer a little comfort. Maybe he is in the great beyond with some other people. But again, I don't need it from
There's
Rod
no
Stewart.
There's no comfort there.
Yeah. I don't know. It's nice to see them smiling. You look
it's,
good.
It's so weird.
It is weird.
It's creepy. Patrick Swayze, speaking of dead celebrities, he got apparently back in the day quite annoyed with Jennifer Grey while filming Dirty Dancing. Choreographer Kenny Ortega said it was when they were filming the sequence where Swayze is teaching her how to dance. This moment where he's tickling her. Oh, I remember that in that movie. She's literally losing it.
Yeah.
We're in a tin building. This is from the choreographer. Mm. Said we were in a tin building. It's freezing cold. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Patrick is so tired and wanting to go home. And every time he does this, she's giggling. And the look on his face, no one directed that. So... There's
wow.
That. I don't know where that came from, why they were bringing that up there. But
are they coming up to an anniversary for Dirty
Maybe.
Dancing?
Hey, but every time Patrick Swayze's in the news, I pay attention. He's one of our favorite guests we ever had in the old show.
Yeah.
And it was great having him on. And he was, you know, he really brought it, even though he'd been out all night, which I'll never forget that. All right. Last week, we had a story about Miranda Lambert and her viral butt video.
Yes.
It's still making waves. And then later on in the week, she responded by saying, quote, "I've been warning you all about my backyard swagger since 2014, but we hadn't seen her perform since. Would she be wearing sweatpants this time around or a really long dress? Who knows? The answer is a resounding no." She responded to the criticism of her short skirt by wearing another short skirt.
Atta girl.
Clearly, Miranda doesn't care about what the internet thinks, and I say good for her. I loved her response. I thought that was fun, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that, and way to go. I'm on Team Miranda with that one. So
do you have your front row seats yet for our next show?
I'm not on that much of a team for Miranda.
Okay,
but
all right.
Finally today, Smokey the Bear isn't known for actually being out on the beat, but if you tick him off enough, he'll come after you. An unidentified man was reportedly driving around Florida, going to state parks, and stealing Smokey Bear signs. The wooden ones, the big ones that warn about forest and wildfire risks. The guy would then turn around and list them on Facebook Marketplace for up to $2,000
each. Yeah, they sound pretty valuable.
Florida's Commissioner of Agriculture, really good guy, Wilton Simpson.
I'm glad he's still in power, Mike, because Wilton is the best.
Is this Wilton Simpson?
Yeah, Bobble Bonker.
He says the suspect was caught in the act and that Smokey, I guess he's talking about a state trooper, was actually on hand when he was cuffed and loaded into a patrol vehicle. Simpson said, "Smokey's always around our forest and just got lucky today that he saw the bad guy and got him handcuffed." Sounds like one of those guys down here that loves to come on TV and talk about they got him. Got him there. He also called the thief an idiot. Criminal charges are pending, but Simpson said he could face jail time. In Florida, let's see, they say the penalty for stealing public signs is a round of beers at the tiki bar. Yeah. Yes, sir, baby. Wee. Yahoo. My voice is so shot today. Hi, everybody. I should do the show like this.
Mike, you sound like someone at the tiki bar.
Oh, my God. We'll have more show coming up. Sometimes you just need a little something, you know, something in the middle of the afternoon to help you get through your 30th Zoom meeting, or something at the end of the day to make your evening more enjoyable or at least tolerable. That's where today's sponsor, Soul, can help. Soul is a wellness brand that believes feeling good should be fun and easy. They specialize in delicious hemp-derived THC and CBD products designed to boost your mood and help you unwind. Their best-selling out-of-office gummies were designed to provide a mild, relaxing buzz, boost your mood, and enhance creativity and relaxation. The gummies come in 4 different strengths, so you can find the perfect dose for your vibe. Plus, Soul has many other amazing wellness products with or without THC that can improve sleep, stress, pain, focus, bloating, and more. And don't forget the amazing THC sparkling beverages, ice cold relaxation. Bring on the good vibes and treat yourself to Soul today. Right now, Soul is offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to getsoul.com and use the code TMOS. That's getsoul.com, promo code TMOS for 30% off people. So I do want to mention this Gen Z stare that we talked about in the beginning of the show.
But before we get to that, Mike,
yes,
we rolled right into this show with going through the audio files and totally blew past that we have an announcement to make today.
I've forgotten. I didn't do my job. We should make the announcement tomorrow is what we should really do.
Well, we made it on the bonus show on Friday.
Yeah, we did. Okay. All right. So, do we have any music, like a drum roll or anything like that, where we can do the? Do we have copy for me for this? Or
you wrote copy last week.
I wrote copy last week. Oh, I'm supposed to keep that. I'm sorry. Okay.
Maybe we do announce it tomorrow.
Yeah, let's announce it tomorrow.
No, hold on. I'll find it. I've got it in here somewhere. I will. You get the music together. And I'll
all right.
Get this. I completely forgot. I'm so. This is our big rollout today.
Yes.
And I'm very excited.
We're really
excited.
Good at big rollouts.
Jesus. Yeah.
Fine.
That's okay.
We'll right. Double down tomorrow with
no,
one
I
of
got
the,
it. I got it. One of the I've got it right here. All right. Okay. You got the music, Rob?
I do.
All right. Very good.
Let's do this.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are very, very excited to announce our fall promotion all the way back in August. It is the Mike O'Meara Show Family Cookbook. There it is. That's not the final draft, but it's looking very close. We like the old-timey style of it. It's being assembled as we speak. We are assembling the recipes now. Enjoy great foods from Mike, Rob, and Josh, as well as our family and friends, and you, the listener. If you want to send one in, recipes@MikeO'MearaShow.com. That's where you go. This is a limited run of books, and we will start pre-orders on Monday, August 4th. The book will also feature some wonderful phony craft recipes with pictures.
Right.
And by the way, we didn't even talk about this yet, but those phony craft recipes, I don't want animation. I want real pictures
like
of
photographs.
The craft recipes. Yes.
Cool.
The book will feature some wonderful phony craft recipes. Also, for the first time, Charlie Stuang Stabilek will share his recipe for his famous candy salad.
Didn't he bring it over from the old country?
It's just delish.
It really is.
We're going to have all the principals on the show get them. We're going to have our P1s submit their entries. And then we're going to go through all of your recipes and put what sounds the most appealing in there. It's got pictures. It's got Easter eggs. There are all sorts of weird things. And we decided we'd let you know that that's coming up so you could do a pre-order for your Family Cookbook. Portions of the sales of this book will benefit the Mike O'Meara Show.
Actually, Mike, you know, you really don't let on how generous you are. All proceeds.
Yes. Will benefit this time we're giving O'Meara it all show. To the Mike O'Meara
exactly,
Show.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, there is a question in the chat. Will this include Rob's fruitcake?
Well,
God damn it. God damn it.
It will include.
Go to the website to order, not call.
Yeah,
don't call us right now.
It will include the fruitcake recipe, but not a fruitcake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yes, it will absolutely be in there. The very same recipe I use as a guideline when I cook them at home.
Are you, I never asked this, even when we were having our meetings about this. Mm-hmm. Are you putting in your tater tot casserole?
Of course. Are you gonna put that in there? That's a signature of mine, I think. And I talked to my mom about what she's going to do. So, yeah.
How many. Josh Soroka, editor-in-chief, how many recipes do you want us to whittle it down to per show member? Because I'm curious.
5 to 10.
Okay, 5 to 10.
I'm around that 5 number.
Mm-hmm.
I think 5 would be good for me. I've got chicken wachicaca. I've got...
Your one-pot spaghetti I want.
That's not mine entirely, so I'll put like a different ingredient and I'll perfect it. And I'm going to add that to the recipe. My main lobster stew will be included. My Louisiana barbecue shrimp will be it. My gray roast beef. No, I'm not doing
what
that.
What are you doing?
Gray the roast one year beef. I made a roast beef and my sister said, it's moist. didn't work that out that
no,
well.
No.
But no, I'm always trying different
little
things.
Do you have any, like, heritage recipes that were like
your
parents?
No, but I want to put a few of my dumb recipes in.
Like what? Know?
Well, I've got a particular mix that I use. And when I make my blueberry pancakes, my main blueberry pancakes
is
for
it
the kids.
True? I remember you told me that that was the best mix and that everyone could agree on it. Even the boss. Right. So I've got, I would love if you would put in your mom's brownie recipe.
Yes.
Because that's sensational.
Okay. That's great. And you know what? I will solicit Kathy, my sister, who's a phenomenal cook.
Yeah.
And see, she has a Caesar salad recipe dressing. What's that?
I did the same. I reached out to my mom for one of her recipes I love and to my sister for one of her recipes.
I reached out to my mom, and I expect her to call me back in the next day or so.
My cousin Teddy has a recipe for Toll House cookies that are just about the best that he got from my Aunt Jean, and I definitely want to put that in the book. And then, everybody's got their favorites, and we really want you to, you know, if you're going to send in a recipe, keep it to one. I think that's the way we'd like you to listen. It's got to be your Mac Daddy, your main one that's supposed to be special.
Put all your eggs in that basket. That's a food. Mm-hmm. That's a food reference.
Thank you. We appreciate that. So pre-orders happen today at MikeOMara.com.
Get on
if you want to go there and get there. We will be coming out
on sale this week.
And we will be coming out with the family cookbook in time for the holiday season. We'll have it all together for you. And I think it makes a great stocking stuffer for the holidays. So please go out and grab it. And we're looking forward to that. Will you put your recipe in for a fruitcake?
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. The same recipe that I use when I'm crafting them at home. Okay. A lot of my recipes are desserts, but they're all fantastic. Like my father's mother made the most incredible carrot cake to die for. Mm-hmm. And that'll be in there. And that's not a mix. That's from scratch. That's amazing
stuff. That's the way with the blueberry pancakes. See, I use a mix, but it's also, you know, it's good on the waistline too.
Sure.
It's a protein pancake.
And I was working on some fried green tomatoes yesterday.
Ooh, I love them.
That'll be my recipe going
in. Wow. Fried green tomatoes.
Really good.
That's pretty good. Is that the family recipe from the Sorokas?
It's not a Soroka family. It's from Kelly's. It's
you know
Kelly's
what I was thinking that you
South.
Might come up
That's
with? Do you have Soroka pierogies? I thought you would have pierogi. What is Soroka? What is the
Polish,
origin?
Right?
It's Polish. It's Polish.
So do you have Soroka pierogies?
I do not.
Soroka brats?
I do not.
He has his family's favorite homemade beverage, though.
I've requested my mom's vegetable soup.
Is that the beverage, Rob?
No, the beverage is Soroka Cola.
Soroka Cola. Soroka Coca-Cola. That's fun. What's the one you were saying, Josh? I'm sorry. I
requested
over
my mom's vegetable soup recipe because she makes vegetable soup from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got a pasta salad from my sister.
Oh,
it's coming.
Really? Is that good?
Yeah. No, these are two of my favorite meals. That's why I'm requesting them.
Busting your chops.
Yeah.
Rob, does your mom have a particular recipe that's special?
Yeah, I actually spoke to her over the weekend because I had to go over and do some chores for her. She's probably going to submit her signature thing in our family if we have a get together, her buffalo chicken dip, which is a dip that tastes like buffalo wings. That's insanity. And she also does a side dish with potatoes and pasta that's really crazy good. So I asked her to search her soul for something she'd like to donate. Also, my stepmom, Kathy, will be chipping in. I don't know with what yet, though.
Let me ask my mom. Mom, is it okay if we use your brownie recipe? Is it okay if we share that with the world? I'll ask Kathy. Huh? Is it okay? I know you were really secretive about it. What? Mom, don't go away!
Sorry. And because, Mike, I know you love it, I will be putting in my recipe for creamed onions.
Ugh, oh, wait. My mom's reaching
down. Oh, she's
back. Again.
She's back.
Hi, Mom. She said no.
Oh, no.
Just screw around.
I think I have it written down somewhere.
I'm just screwing around. Okay. I'm looking forward to this. And there are a lot of women in my family that are excellent cooks. And so
and the men are hunters, right?
The men are hunters.
Nice beaver.
What is that? Why are you playing that? That's not appropriate. We have more show.
You were beaver hunting. That's
all right.
Why.
Is your stare thing going to keep through this little message that I have here?
Because I think it will. I think it will, as a matter of fact.
Or maybe I'll just talk about my son's addiction to Pokemon. I don't know. Something's coming up. But first, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a tip for you. Caffeine junkies. Hi, everybody. It's Mike O'Mara, and I'm here to tell you about Charlie's Choice Coffee. It's still awesome, and you can reorder or subscribe for some right now.
Right now.
Right now. Don't just drink coffee. Experience it. You got to have coffee, so we want to give you the best. Charlie's Choice is available in whole bean or fresh ground. Get a one-time order or save money with a subscription and get our exclusive Charlie's Choice blend delivered right to your door. This premium medium roast blend is the best and freshest coffee you can find. I had me two giant cups of it in the Mike O'Mara Show mug this morning. Mm. It's crafted in small batches. It's roasted to order in St. Augustine, Florida. So support small business and enjoy a cup of Charlie today. But unlike Charlie, make sure you let it cool before you drink it. Charlie took his entire lower lip off at one point.
He has no patience at all.
But it grew back. Get yours at the TMOS store at MikeOMaraShow.com. Start your day right with Charlie's Choice. Because Charlie, what is it?
It's good to the last sip.
There you go. Thank you. Steaming hot, Charlie. Because when Charlie says, duh, it's got to be good.
It's Mike, it's got to be good.
It's got to be good. All right. Here it is.
Look, what's that?
My producer.
Look, there it is.
My in-studio producer just brought that in.
Oh, yeah, that in-studio producer, Mike, is part of our staff.
This is the one that just came in. This is the one that just came in. I get to open it right here.
You know what people don't know is when it arrives, it has the date on it that it was roasted. That's how you know how fresh it is.
Let me open it up. It's so good. They seal it over there and say no.
Well, they want it to stay fresh.
All right.
I didn't mean to sound like Shatner there. They want it to stay
fresh.
Oh, God,
that is so good. I like the smell of it almost as much as I like drinking it.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing like popping that open.
Do you remember what Carlos Rossi used to say?
What's that?
When he sold his gallons of wine.
We will sell no coffee until it's time.
No, but mostly I like to drink it.
Yeah, which he did, and you could tell by looking at him that he was a bit of a wino.
Okay. Here's your transition jingle, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go right now. Charlie's doing
WAVA. Rob Spiewak said there is something called the Gen Z stare.
Yeah.
That I know nothing about. I can't even tell you millennials, Gen X, Gen Z.
I don't know what it is.
Okay, I actually
baby boomers,
it up.
I can tell you that's my era, right after World War II, right?
And I'm Gen X.
What's Gen X, right after baby boomers?
Yeah, so like 61 to 81 or 60 to 80, I think.
Yeah,
but
I think I fall in Gen X as well.
But I wanted to get this right, so I actually Googled this. Generation Z, also known as anybody? What they're also known as?
The assholes.
No,
millennial?
No, Zoomers. The Zoomers is what they are.
Are they the youngest?
No. They are the generation born between the late 1990s and early 2010s, roughly 97 to 2012. So right now in 2025, if you are between 13 and 29, you are a Generation Z.
Okay, so Elizabeth is a Gen Zer. Catherine is a year older than that. What does that make her? Elizabeth's a Gen Z, and Catherine's a Gen... Is she a millennial?
They are the... she'd be a millennial, because the Zoomers are the generation succeeding millennials and preceding... I didn't even know about this one. Gen Alpha. Have you heard of Gen Alpha?
That would be our kids, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
I have two Zoomers and an alpha.
But what's wild
is
that
millennial, I have a millennial, a zoomer, and an alpha. I have all three.
Wow, you win the prize.
Isn't that cool? I'm going to be dead soon.
Mike, Generation Z, here's why this is important. In 2025, Generation Z is becoming a significant force in the workforce, marketplace, and social movement because they're entering their 20s. So we got to pay attention to what they do. And the Gen Z, let me play you, first of all, before we talk about it, I pulled a couple from social media about what the Gen Z stare is. Let's look at this tape first.
My first experience with the Gen Z stare.
A blank expression dubbed the Gen Z stare at the center of the latest generational beef on TikTok.
They just look at you like they just saw a ghost.
But a lot of older generations talk too much, too rudely, and too proudly while being too stupid.
I don't really feel like it's a lack of social skills. I just think we just don't care.
TikToker Jet Demetrius Latham, one of many Gen Z content creators weighing in on the trend.
Gen Z stare is kind of like a deadpan, like blank kind of stare that we give to often like customers when they're asking very like awkward or obvious questions.
So let's say you go into a store, and I've done this, and you've got a Zoomer behind the counter.
Okay.
And you ask them a question, and they just look at you, and they don't say anything because they have no social skills. And everyone that is older than them perceives it as being rude, but they're saying they're not being rude. They're just being true to their generation. They say that it was probably brought on during COVID, because people didn't have face-to-face conversations during COVID, and also because Generation Z wants to ignore any chance of sort of confrontation. So they don't say anything. They just stare back at you. This lady has another...
Doesn't that elicit confrontation by doing that?
It is rude.
It is rude. But
wouldn't you get confrontation by just staring at somebody? That would piss me off.
I'm
a boomer with a big mouth.
Yeah, but it does bother me, but they're not confronting you. It's the absolute most passive aggressive thing you could do. It's nothing. Someone's asking you a question and you don't say anything.
Welcome to the coffee shop. How are you doing today?
Caramel macchiato, double shot of espresso.
Bruh.
You get that?
The Gen Z stare is exactly what it sounds like. It's the vacant look a Gen Zer gives in response to a comment or question. But why is this a thing? Kristen Lee, a behavioral...
Okay, I don't need to hear what the doctor says, but I've seen it. Have you gotten it?
It confuses me because she's interacting.
Right.
Are you telling me that if I go into Dick's Sporting Goods...
Right.
...and I ask where the catcher's equipment is,
mm-hmm.
and the person behind the counter... says, hi, welcome to Dick's, and then I ask the question, they just stare and give me no answer,
no,
or they wait?
They stare for a beat and then give you
They
an
wait
answer.
For a beat and give mm-hmm. me that stare, yes. right?
Exactly. Okay.
It's a little
and
weird.
They say, the experts say, I don't know who the experts are, but they say it's not necessarily rude.
It's judgmental immediately.
Yeah, I know. And it's a generational difference, and it's a potential sign of social anxiety. Now, I'm not buying that.
No, I think it's crap. I think it's just being... I think they're just saying you're an asshole.
Yeah. Right? There's that word again.
Yeah. I mean, no. But I mean, it just... well, we don't have to worry about that one, do
I
we?
Know. No, I mean, yeah, we do.
But no, we do?
No, we do.
We do?
Yeah. It's okay. It's no
like
biggie.
What, for our friends in Iowa?
Yeah. Yeah.
But not online, right?
No.
Yeah. I mean, come on. All right.
Yeah.
Really? I thought that one was free. Yeah, you learn something every day. I will tell you that it's reflecting a general disdain
mm-hmm.
for older people. I think it's probably yeah. directed at olds. And by the way, early in that thing, you were talking about the parents that are louder and ruder, right,
yeah.
and more awkward. I totally agree with that. Label it baby boomers. Mm-hmm. I call them the children of the greatest generation,
yeah.
which are people my age.
Right.
Because we are so ridiculously opinionated and entitled.
Yeah.
It's insane. And I would imagine that people who are grandchildren of that era, which are the Gen Zers primarily, mm-hmm. or in some cases the children of
right.
the gen of the baby boomers, would be just fed up with that. You get over it. And I also think you have to bring in our devices into that factor.
Oh, 100%.
They're
yeah.
lost in their device. If you want to talk about the Gen Z stare, that's because the social interaction, it's not awkward because they're rude. It's awkward because they just don't prefer, they don't communicate like that.
Right. And
they communicate with that.
And to me, we saw that content creator who said, we talk too much and we talk stupid. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Everybody talks too much and everyone talks stupid.
No, I disagree. I think that they talk about our era. Yeah, you know, there is so much opinion
mm-hmm.
when you look at people in their 50s and 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
It's just everybody's got that, this is the way. I see it every time. I'm surrounded by these people down here, and it wears my ass out.
I think I don't like to place blame on this so broadly, but these Zoomers were brought up badly to not at least give you the respect of a reply.
I agree with that.
And it's because probably the most entitled generation is so entitled that they didn't think they had to raise their kids to be at least polite in a functioning way, which is all we're asking for.
Look, I just have this theory about, and I base this a lot on my own education.
Okay.
Going through public school, then getting into a college and getting through there. And literally, I mean, coasting is not a strong enough word for it. I got a college degree and, you know, I walked through it. Mm-hmm. Were there moments of stress and strain? Yeah, a few. There was some work done, but if you were going to go and be a professional,
right?
Nothing changed. You had to work your ass off to get a law degree, to get a medical degree, to get an engineering degree. But if you wanted to be into that liberal arts general education world,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to say a run of the mill. I want to say an average college.
Right.
Oh my God. Back in the 80s, give me a break. 70s sure. and 80s, doop 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 doop. I mean, really, you wouldn't believe the number of idiots with college degrees. It's
so
incredible.
True.
It's incredible. Yeah. So I think the path of least resistance, the easy way, they probably did it with the kids too.
Probably. I would say that's probably so. Yeah. You know, I just don't see, kids anymore that will look me in the eye if I talk to them. I was real big about
love
that.
My son.
I was real, and you are too.
Much.
But I was so big about my kids that they would talk to grown-ups and they wouldn't, you know, act shy or anything. They would get a handshake, make eye contact, mm-hmm. answer a question or whatever, and then get out of there.
Do they answer the phone? That's another thing with these kids.
No, they never do.
No, my kids don't.
Yeah.
I have to text them.
Well, what do you mean answer the phone? There's not a phone on the wall or anything.
No.
Yeah, like on
their answer your phone.
Yeah.
If I make a phone call and call them, they don't answer.
Well, that's my Gen Zer that I'm married to outside. You know, it's like, I mean, it's attached to her vagina. And then when I make a phone call, it's
hard
like
to
never,
answer that.
It's never answered. By the way, my daughter, Catherine, also, mm-hmm. never without a phone in her, ever.
I know.
Toughest person to get on the phone of anybody. People are like that.
I've called people in that generation, and when they answer, their thought is originally to say, what's wrong? Because why are you actually phoning somebody? Mm-hmm. Why are you using the voice portion of your phone?
Yep.
Because no one, a text would have done this. Well, I said, well, yeah, but no, I want to talk, you know?
Yeah, and, I agree.
And they don't go for it, and I don't mm-hmm. like it. So there, how about that? Thank you. Mike. I said I don't like it.
I'm sorry, I was giving you the Gen Z stare. That's what.
See,
was.
We I can't hate do it.
And
I
when,
hate
when
it.
When you're a broadcaster and you're like a baby boomer too,
yeah.
I mean, the sound of any silence at all will drive you out of your mind. You have to mm-hmm. fill that time. We've got more show. You got some beautiful video for us coming up.
As a matter of fact.
Before we do that, I want to tell you about it came today. Oh, two of mine that I bought, by the way,
mm-hmm.
my liquid IV. I got my mango and I got my peach. Mm-hmm. Peach goes in to the kitchen. Mango going into the golf bag.
You don't mix them up?
No. I just I either or one, but I'm good with those. Those are my flavors that I really, really like so bad. And this program happens to be sponsored by our friends at Liquid IV, and I love it so much. Whether you're soaking up the last bits of summer or gearing up for those back-to-routine vibes,
oof.
You can capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated better than water alone. Visit liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout for 20% off your first order. Plus, Liquid IV has sugar-free solutions. Those are the ones I like, powered by Live HydroScience for smart hydration. Visit liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout for 20% off your order, your first order. I drink it each and every day. It has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. You are going to love Liquid IV just like I do, ladies and gentlemen. I love me the Liquid IV. It's the cream of the crop. 20% off your first order with the code TMOS at liquidiv.com, people.
Oh, come on, you.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry Todd.
Louisiana.
1580 KLOU, Lake Charles.
You mentioned in the news, of course, the passing of Lonnie Anderson. Mm-hmm. And I did want to play her first scene from the pilot episode of WKRP.
I remember one of the better pilots ever made in television.
It was really good. And mm-hmm. the whole thing, the setup was that it's a rinky-dink Cincinnati radio station.
Yep.
And they bring in a hot young program director played by Gary Sandy. But mm-hmm. in this very first scene, you get to see Jennifer Marlowe as played by Lonnie Anderson.
Morning, Jennifer.
Morning, Herb.
Any calls?
No.
Messages?
Nope.
Mail?
None.
Okay. How about lunch?
No lunch either.
Dinner?
Busy.
Okay. How about later at my place?
You're married, Herb.
Oh, yeah. What's it going to take with you, Jennifer? I mean, you're talking to the sales manager here. I mean, what do you want? Watches, jewelry, a side of beef fully dressed? I can fix anything. You want to meet Bert Convey in person? I mean, they don't call me Mr. Kickback for nothing.
Howdy, I'm Andy Travis, the new program director.
But kickbacks are wrong. Herb Tarlick, sorry I got a meeting. We'll talk later, if you last that long.
Yeah. I love it, and I think it. Maybe we maybe we like it a little more because we could draw direct correlations to people in real life.
The sleazy sales guys. Yes. I mean, it was just so much fun because back in that era. And by the way, the thing, your wife, you're married. You know, different time too.
Yeah,
you wouldn't
have
jokes like that today, probably. I mean, who knows? It was a really fun show. Great characters on that show.
And also, I want to play my favorite piece of WKRP trivia because we don't normally get a chance to do it.
Okay,
everyone knows the opening theme, baby, if you ever wondered, but the closing theme is really a great rockin' song. But if you listen to it, you realize this: the vocals don't make any sense because it was a demo record with a scratch vocal, which means that they laid down all the instrumentation and they left track open for the vocal, but the person just made up words. So listen to the words to this song and you'll realize there's nothing there. But a great closing theme.
Like nothing, right?
Nothing.
Gibberish?
Yep. But that sounds like a hit record, and you listen to it, and there's nothing going on there.
I didn't know that. That's cool. I like that.
Now, artificial intelligence, Mike, people love it. It's crazy.
Look at the man down at the bottom of your screen. He loves it.
He does.
He loves it more than anything in the whole wide world.
I thought this was entertaining. This is a lady on a farm, and we're forced to guess if the objects around her are real or AI. So watch this and see what happens.
Okay. Video, see if you can figure out what's real and what's AI. I'm doing wagons again. Is this wagon real? No, it's AI. Is this bridge real? No, it's AI. Which one's real, the tree or the wagon?
Hold on.
Okay.
I wish you could pause it so
the
I
tree.
Could tell.
Ow!
Sorry, I'll pause the next one.
Are these a bunch of AI chickens at this chicken coop?
Are the chickens real or fake?
So well. It's so amazing when you really think about it.
The chickens are fake.
Okay.
How do you know? What are you basing it on?
Well, I'm looking at that white one in the front. That was a little blurry.
Okay. But here's the surprise.
There are AI chickens, and it's an AI chicken coop, so it would make sense.
The coop disappears.
Is this wagon real?
No.
Or is it AI? It's real.
Oh, it is real.
I suck at this.
It's real.
Real lamp post.
There's an AI dog.
That's a real dog. Oh, no,
what about this wagon? It's real. Is this bridge real?
This is wild.
Or is it AI? It's real. But I added an AI stream.
That is a really fascinating video.
Isn't
I like
it?
That. That's cool.
I loved that. I thought that was
cool.
So cool.
Here, I made a quick AI for you.
Okay.
Aw, that's sweet. Yeah.
Look at that. It's Ozzy with Lonnie.
Yeah, see, not disrespectful.
Yeah.
Just weird.
But he would. If that was
perfectly weird, Josh. Very
if that
well
was
done.
The situation, he would take his ring off because he wants him some Lonnie.
My God, it's so weird. It's all right. Creepy.
Mike, we talked last week about the lady who was attacked by the raccoon.
Yes, got scratches all over her.
On her feet. Her dog was scared.
Mm-hmm.
I I don't like raccoons. You know that. So I loved that story because it painted them in a bad light.
Yes.
However, I guess Big Raccoon is out there because here's another raccoon news story.
Dick Clark's Connecticut home.
By the way, it's not Dick Clark from Bandstand. It's a different guy.
Okay.
Everywhere he enjoys the presence of animals.
We've got over 3 acres here.
That's Dick Clark.
A while back, his kids got him a security camera.
What it does, it monitors just this area out here with pets or people or whatever the action might be.
And I could tell you what it's been capturing for over a year, but it's something you have to see for yourself to believe.
So it's become a hobby with me, sort of, or a pastime. I've always loved animals.
Last spring, Dick was smoking a cigar outside.
This raccoon just came walking up to me, just strutted up. Stood there, looked at me, didn't run, didn't do anything else. I just was mesmerized by her ability.
Mesmerized.
Yeah, exactly.
Then the next night, the critter came back, and every day that
those
followed.
Those hot dog rolls?
He quickly.
Hot dog rolls and marshmallows,
like a
I think.
Raccoon whisperer. Okay.
It's like Elvis.
I don't know whether she felt comfortable with me, but she came
is that
back.
Cheese whiz that he's got in his, you know, the crotch of his elbow?
I can't tell
no,
what it is.
I think it's just a trash bag.
From there, a friendship was formed.
I'm real proud of his friendship, but you know those kids they mentioned that got him the cam for outside?
Uh-huh.
Where are they? This guy is all alone, hated by his family, and that's why the raccoons keep coming.
Nice beaver.
Exactly, but it's a raccoon.
Okay, thank you.
Mike, did you watch any of the Speedway Classic?
What is that?
They went to one of the big, what do you call it, NASCAR tracks. I don't know which one. Forgive me. And in the infield, they built a baseball diamond.
Oh, I heard about that.
And then they also filled the stands. It was a success for a while. Because
I think it's marvelous. Some of it really fine.
Thank you.
It was the biggest attended baseball game ever until it was rained out.
For one inning.
Yeah, and then 75% of the people went home. But one thing I do love is that when they hit a home run, a NASCAR goes around the track with a flag that says home run.
2-1 from Suter to White. That ball's hit hard, deep to left field. It is gone.
Here comes the car.
Eli White with a 3-run home run to put the Braves in front.
Because it's Atlanta and Cincinnati, and that's like NASCAR. I say, does he have a flag?
He does.
Home run, duh.
Holding that
sound. Does it sound like they might have dubbed in the crowd a little bit?
Maybe. And I just love the fact that you had the same reaction I did. The three letter word, duh.
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 Home run.
Mike, I will close with this because it was thrilling and also exciting. I watched SummerSlam this weekend with my son because he still likes the wrestling, especially the big events. And it was free on, I think it was on Peacock. So we didn't have to pay for the pay-per-view. Now, the big event on Saturday night was that Jelly Roll was going to wrestle in a celebrity tag team. I think he was against Logan Paul and another partner. And I thought it would just be, you know, a washout.
I pooped myself one time.
That's the guy. I thought it was just going to be a washout where he was just sort of there like rooting on from the sides. But look how Jelly Roll's evening ended. I was impressed.
Okay.
That's Jelly Roll on the table.
That's Jake Paul.
Logan Paul, I think.
Logan Paul.
He's standing on the turnbuckle there.
And a splash through Jelly Roll, through the announce table.
That was impressive.
Can I see that again? Because it really looks like there might have been a little pain involved.
Oh, I'm sure there was. Even if that's a breakaway table, which it is, there's no way that was easy to do. Okay. Here we go. This is at MetLife Stadium in Jersey.
No matter what, you're getting knocked off that table. It's gonna hurt.
Nice socks, Jelly.
So Jelly lost. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to report to you, Mike, that Jelly Roll and his team did not win at SummerSlam.
Who was that last lady there? Did you see the blonde? Was she a wrestling lady? The blonde lady
you
that
can't
they
tell
showed?
If she's a wrestling lady or a fan because they get all dressed
nice
up.
Nice beaver.
Yes.
Okay,
I agree.
Get a lot of mileage out of my favorite tape. See, even if I get one out of that group, that's
exactly.
Fine.
Exactly. There
what
you go.
What am I bitching about? Shut up, Mike. Anyway, we got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. And if you want to pre-order our wonderful family cookbook, the TMOS Family Cookbook, on sale for pre-order right now with delicious recipes you can eat. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode for Josh Sirok and Rob Spiewak. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Oh, Jelly. Sad.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Oh, I think it's marvelous. Some of it really fine.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
It'll be okay.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven!
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.